I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a new film on PBS recalls the perilous journey of the freedom riders, those activists, white and black, who endured vicious violence and jail in a campaign to end segregation in public transportation in the Deep South. Today, 40 students are retracing the route those riders took. We'll speak with two of those students in a few moments. But first, we go back to the story we've been following these many weeks of the effort in Libya to overthrow the autocratic leader Muammar Gaddafi, whose rule the country for more than 30 years and has been waging a violent campaign to suppress opponents of his regime. Now he's become a target of the International Criminal Court. Today, the court's prosecutor declared that he has sought arrest warrants for Gaddafi and one of his sons for crimes against humanity. And the head of Britain's military has called for more NATO airstrikes around the region. Here in the U.S., self-declared leaders of a transitional Libyan government allied with the rebels have been holding meetings around Washington with lawmakers and members of the Obama administration. We wanted to learn more about the state of the opposition and what they want from the U.S. government, so we've called once again Ali Aujali. We spoke with him earlier this year after he had resigned as the Libyan ambassador to the U.S. in protest of the Gaddafi regime's violent attacks on Libyan civilians, and he's back with us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Welcome back, Ambassador. Thank you for joining us.
I'm Michelle. Thank you for inviting me.
We know that you've been in communication with opposition forces, so we did want to ask, you know, what is their state of mind? What are they telling you about their positions?
Well, I think the morale is very strong. The Libyan opposition, they are doing very well on the ground. They're doing very well on the political side. Their visit here to the United States was very successful, even if we don't achieve all what they come for, what they came for. But I think it is a very good visit that we know each other, we introduce them, and I think they left with a very good inspiration among all the people they met, official or the other Americans.
Mahmoud Jibril, the Prime Minister of Libya's Transitional Interim National Council, announced a plan for a post-Gaddafi Libyan government. He was in Washington last week at the Brookings Institution. As briefly as you can you tell us a little bit about what that plan looks like?
Well, I think Libya, the first thing that they have to get rid from the Gaddafi regime, and the second thing, the recognition of the Libyan Council, the Transition and National Council, it is all over the city, all over the cities of Libya. And now the third thing, which is important, was Mr. Jibril mentioned, that we want the integration among the Libyan people. We want reconciliation among the Libyan people. Then we will not exclude anybody that his hand is not dirty with the crimes. This is a very important issue. We have to avoid the situation happening in Iraq. Then we want to have our people. We are a small population, less than 7 million people. And that's when we have people from different departments in Libya joining the revolution. This is the most critical issue. And after that, I think they are working on the draft of the constitution. The Libyan people, they are, for the first time, they feel they are Libyan. They feel they are nationalist. They are working for their government. They are working for their future. And I am very comfortable now that the days of Gaddafi, I believe they are very comfortable. We are very happy that to see that the opposition, they are marching toward Tripoli from Misrata. They are just about Zlita now. And from the eastern part also, they are marching toward the west. The Libyan people, the opposition and the Libyan people, morale is very high. I am very confident that we will not face the same challenging other countries has been through.
Now, the Transitional Council is hoping to tap into Gaddafi's frozen assets, which amount to about $30 billion that is known to this point. What would this group want to use that money to do?
Well, I think, of course, for example, just let me give you a little example. Here we have 1,700 Libyan students. In Canada, we have 500. With their family, there are about 8,000. For next month, they have no allowance. They have no medical insurance. They have no tickets to travel anywhere. Then this is one of the issues we are facing. We need humanitarians. We have more than 40,000 Libyan people now on Tunisian borders. Tunisia is giving them a shelter, but they came with them for some time, but not for the long time. Then we need this money for humanitarian. We need this money for treat the Libyan injuries who have been suffering now all over the Libyan cities, unfortunately, which has been shelled by Gaddafi regime. Then the first priority is the humanitarian issue for us. And the second thing that we have to pay the public who have been working for the government, they have to feed their children. Yesterday, the Libyan community here, they are very involved to collect humanitarian assistance, food, and all kind of food. And myself and my family, we were involved in that. Then we send one container. Then the priority is that we have to face the challenging on the ground. We are in a real war against Gaddafi's regime. We have to protect ourselves. This is what the money is really required for.
We're speaking with a former Libyan ambassador, Ali Ojali. He was the ambassador, Libya's ambassador to the United States until he resigned in protest over Muammar Gaddafi's treatment of Libyan civilians. And we're talking about the current state of the opposition movement. As we understand it, Libya's Transitional National Council has already gained recognition from France, Italy, Qatar, and Kuwait, but the United
and
States
Gambia.
And
Gambia.
And Gambia, yeah. But not the United States, to our understanding. Now, I understand that members of the council met with some congressional members and with President Obama's National Security Advisor last week. I assume that this was part of the conversation. Do you feel that that recognition is forthcoming? And why do you think it hasn't been granted to this point?
Well, they do not give us the full recognition what we really require. They give us, I can say, 50% of the full recognition. I think the next time it will be a recognition.
There is Why do you think they haven't?
Well, I think maybe they're stuck by some legal issue. And I think that Mr. Obama administration, they will be able to find an exit for this. Because this is Britain, they manage it, France and some other countries you mentioned. It will not be a problem for the United States, I am sure. The United States committed to help the Libyan people. They recognize that the council is the legitimate representative. The legitimate to talk on behalf of the Libyan people, and that's the most important issue. Then what is left is a small thing, and I hope the administration will take care of it, because this is very important. As you know, U.S. is a leader, and if you did that, many countries will come follow.
What do you say to those who believe that the fight is not yet won? I mean, it does appear that Gaddafi is willing to do just about anything to hold on to power, and that there are those who would argue that it would be premature for the major governments like the United States to weigh in when the governance of this country is still in dispute, that this is in effect a civil war now.
No, it's not a civil war, because civil war to me, that people fighting each other. Now the people are defending themselves against their government. Then it is not a civil war. Gaddafi has no control of Libya more than 20%. Gaddafi's fighters or mercenaries, they are leaving him. Gaddafi's family, they are split among themselves. Then we need to keep pressure, political pressure, military pressure. Now we have another pressure, that ICC, the International Criminal Court, which is the decision we will hear today. Then Gaddafi has no more room to maneuver. Gaddafi has no chance to speak and to deal with the international community anymore. He lost the legitimacy, as many leaders they said, and he has to leave the people, the Libyan people, alone. Now, what you are seeing on the TV, on the official channel, this is just propaganda which nobody is believing, not in Libya, but also in outside of Libya. I am very confident that the Libyan people now, they are more determined than ever that to get rid of this regime which has oppressed them for the last 42 years.
Can I ask you about your circumstances? When we last spoke with you, you were still working out of the embassy, and frankly, it was a divided place. There are people who are still loyal to the regime, and there are people like yourself who had said that the conduct was no longer acceptable and you could no longer countenance it. So what's it like there now? Are you both still coexisting there?
No more. Mm-hmm. No more. The people who are against the revolution and who are choose to go back to Libya, they're left. I only have myself and another 5 Libyan diplomats, which all of us, we are with the revolution, as you know. It is quieter, it is nicer now without these people.
How, if you don't mind my asking, how are basic things being done, like the electricity being paid for and things of that sort? Are you still able to maintain the embassy?
Well, Michelle, it is very difficult, of course, for the last few months. It is very difficult. We have to depend on our own resources, unfortunately. I am no more in the embassy. All the embassy cars, they have been taken away from me. Even the people who are supposed to help in the house, they are no more there. We have a very difficult time, but I have this difficult time. It will go soon. And it is not more difficult than what our Libyan people are facing. It is a small sacrifice for me and for my family when we compare with the people and the young people who are defending their dignity against this brutal regime.
And finally, before I let you go, if I could draw upon your knowledge of Gaddafi, having served in the government for many years in diplomatic posts around the world, I did want to ask, Are you surprised that he's continued to fight as viciously as he has to hold on to power?
No, I'm not surprised, Michelle. I'm not surprised. Even if I don't know Gaddafi's very well, but I know who is Gaddafi. Gaddafi is a very stubborn person. He will not give up. He thinks this is belong to him. Libya is belong to him and his family. And he cannot believe that the people now are rising against him. This is his problem. He lost touch with the reality. The people now in Libya, now in Tripoli, is moving. The biggest city, our capital, is moving now against Gaddafi's. All the surrounding city. Now Gaddafi is under between pressure from the east and from the West. He realized maybe lately that there is some problem. He doesn't want to realize that the people are rising against him. And I think he has no chance, he or his family. We've been told now, and from some report, maybe he's not even in Libya. Some report, they said he's injured. We don't know, but he disappeared for the last few days. We don't hear him or we see him. I think this is his last, this is the last time for Gaddafi to rule Libya. I think it is his days are countable and it's coming very soon, I hope.
You're very optimistic.
I am very optimistic, of course.
Ali Al-Jali is the former ambassador, Libya's ambassador to the United States. He's representing the transitional government now, and he was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Mr. Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you.